So grab a snack and don't you stress. Tune on in to the Doctor's Mess. Ow!
Dr. Cheddar? Dr. Cheddar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Oh my God. You like, I don't know which one you are, you know. Are you, you Dr. Cheddar, or you crazy Aussie guy, you know?
I mean, it's one of those type of things that, you know, when you're looking for it, it's not gonna appear, but when you're not looking for it, it's gonna sort of come out of nowhere.
I know. And I think all of us here are just kind of dancing around this kind of duality of yours that is not stable. And
I gotta tell you, it has a lot to do with my arousal level, and right now I'm not very aroused. So I mean, you know,
it's so wait a minute. You're saying when you get horny, you transform into a hot Australian dude?
I mean, I try to. It's not successful all the time, but I mean, you know.
Exactly. That's why my impression sounds fucked up to you guys, because I'm not doing an impression of an Australian. I'm doing an impression of Dr. Cheddar as an Australian, which isn't always fully Australian. That's why I sound like a beetle.
Wait. So what is your impression? Wait. If you had to rank my arousal level and your impression of me, first give me a number and then give me the impression.
What? I don't know if I'm following.
Okay.
Is that like an X axis and a Y axis?
I don't want to top out at a 10. So give me me as an Australian, but like at a 5 or 6 horny level.
Okay. Hang on. Let me step in. Can we stop saying it's you as an Australian? You gave us a clear name. You said your name is Chris or Gainsey, and that's your Australian personality. So we could just call you Chris or Gainsey.
You can just call me Gaines. If it's an arousal level of 7 or more, just call me Gaines. It's sort of something to do with the cock.
Okay. Okay, I thought I had
now, Dr. Proctor, do you have a problem with that? Because your OnlyFans... You do a whole Gaines bit that's kind of made you some money.
Yeah, I lift weights on my OnlyFans and talk about the gains I'm making. I have no problem, Dr. Cheddar, with you doing a Chris Gainesy thing. The only thing that upsets me is that had I known about this, we could have incorporated the two things into one thing on my OnlyFans, and I would have made it a PPV and split the money with you.
Right, you're saying a whole lot of acronyms that I don't know right now. But what would us pairing up look like? What would that entail?
I mean, if you just wanted to say things in an Australian accent while I lifted weights, if you wanted to, like,
boy, that looks ripped.
Oh man, you must be horny.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I'd say it's about at a 7 right now. I mean, I've been practicing my edge work. And it keeps me at a solid 7 all day long.
Your edge work?
You know, when you edge without orgasm for extended periods of time.
You get close to orgasm and then you back off. You get as close as you can and you back off.
I mean, I get pretty close. So, I mean, sometimes I don't know, it might be a whole cheating thing if you're an edgelord. But, you know, I'm mastering the art.
Why would you want to do that? I just always want to go.
Well, it's sort of like, I mean, have you ever put Mentos in a soda, but then sometimes you put 10 Mentos in a soda?
I have, and I see no connection whatsoever between Mentos and a soda and me just wanting to get off so I can go to sleep.
Well, I mean, how often do you get off? Once a day, twice a day?
It's a sensitive subject for me, but it's less than 3 more than 1.
Well, all I'm saying is if you imagine if you had 10 ready to go rather than 3 or 1.
Wait, Dr. Cheddar, I feel like I need you to explain what edging is, because that makes me think that you don't understand what it is.
Dr. Well, Cheddar, I mean, do you shove Mentos inside of your penis?
Well, I mean, it's not that you shove them inside as much as you put your penis into the Coke and Mentos. It sort of creates a fizzing reaction, which is real pleasurable if you haven't tried it yet.
And that to you is edging.
That to me is edging. Is how long can the bubbles of the soda and the Mentos bubble, you know, before you bubble yourself?
So your penis can fit through that tiny little bottleneck of a 2-liter bottle of soda?
See, that's where you're wrong. I mean, what you have to do is you have to get the have you guys ever seen like the between 2-liter and 1-liter, like those ones that are sort of medium?
The 1.5.
Yeah, the 1.5, but like you cut the tip. Like have you I mean, we all went to college, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so Dr. Uger famously is going back again pretty soon to Rush.
Oh, yeah. I got to go back and Rush again.
So you know when you cut the bottom of a soda bottle off so you can create a gravity bong?
Of course.
The bottom, yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of like you get a 1.5 liter, cut the bottom off of that. You know, sort of hook yourself up similar to a suction cup situation and then load the Mentos in the top. It's a whole process, but it really is worth it.
Okay, so for you, edging means you look like the bad guy in Mad Max Fury Road. You've got all sorts of hoses and plastic contraptions like strapped to your body and you're just going to town.
I mean, if I had to compare it to a movie... Mad Max, Fury Road, 2000, what is that, 19, 18?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So we showed up at this research base, and I have yet to see a soda. I've only had water and milk to drink this entire time. Are you telling me that we were fully stocked with soda, and you decided that you would take all that for your own edging purposes?
Well, I mean, you know, it's diet soda. I didn't figure anyone was going to want to drink it. So, yes.
Is that what the red button was that you kept pressing? You press that red button in the control room and you'd get a diet soda, would just show up?
It's the craziest thing. You know, it's like someone installed it here like 4 years ago and, you know... thought it was going to be here longer, but you know, it's not really working anymore.
Is that why you vanished for 2 weeks and told us that you were taking the Flugtug back to land?
I thought that it would sort of make y'all think that I'm athletic. I'm surprised that you allowed me to do it.
You didn't even leave. You were just down in that basement room edging. That computer wasn't old. It was beige because it was splashed with so much diet soda.
All right, fine. You caught me. I mean, I was riding the bike, but it was in the basement. And
that's where the bike sort is?
Well, yeah. I mean, what'd you think I did with it? I had to hide it somewhere.
How the hell did you get it through all of the tiny crevices of all these hallways and get it down 20 flights into the, I guess, the basement of this place?
I mean, you know, it wasn't easy. I had to, you know, sneak around in the middle of the night, multiple nights when, you know, y'all weren't paying attention. And I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, it's an entire process of breaking the bike down, building it back up. You know, I sort of assumed a lot of the pieces weren't going to work anyways.
You see, why'd you rebuild it? That just seemed like a huge waste of time.
I mean, it was sort of just like a fail-safe in case I got caught. But, you know, it seems like I didn't get caught until I told you exactly what happened.
Listen, you told me that you were going to pardon the gorilla. I had a limo waiting outside the jail for the gorilla, ready to go. And you didn't even leave the research station.
I think based off of what he told us of what he thinks edging is, when you said pardon the gorilla, I think he did something else in 2 weeks that he refers to as pardoning the gorilla.
Wait, you were talking about the gorilla that was like your wife?
What other gorilla am I ever talking about? In fact, very rarely am I talking about anything else these days.
I thought that was like a monkey on the back type reference.
Okay.
My old gorilla wife.
Is that not what that was?
No, pardoning the gorilla is not the same as getting the monkey off your back. I meant literally go to the prison, pardon the gorilla for killing all the people back at the hospital. You know. So you don't even know what the hospital looks like right now. You don't know if we have any oxygen. You have no message from the outside world for us.
I mean, I probably know less than you know. I've just been down the basement edging for the last, you know, week and a half.
Did you not hear the oxygen alarm that went off?
Was that what that was? Wait, are we all on oxygen? Because I've been doing a lot of breath play down there as well. Okay. And the reserve tanks are real low right now.
You've been doing breath play?
Well, I mean,
what is breath play? I want to hear more about breath play.
You know, it's similar to choking, but like where you hold your breath for as long as possible in between your strokes.
This is coupled with edging.
Well, I mean, it goes hand in hand. You know, you're holding your orgasm. You're holding your breath for about as long as possible. You know, all I'm saying is that I can hold my breath a real long time, but it requires a lot of oxygen for the recovery zone.
Further depleting our oxygen reserves. Okay. I think we're in an emergency right now. And as an emergency doctor, I got a plan. We're down below sea level. The Flugtag's here. We'll just convert the Flugtag into some sort of submarine and get off this place because it's not going to last much longer. We'll take whatever oxygen we can. That's the plan. Somebody's got to take charge. And if it's not the person who is so head over heels in love, he let himself be Dr. Marauded into a Garfield, then I don't know who it should be.
Guys, I only took one semester of submarine class. Truth be told, when I was going back, I was going to become a submarine major.
They call that the Red October major, don't they?
They do. It is the Red October. We learn how to be Sean Connery.
That's a class that you can transfer the credits to a lot of different majors if you need to.
A lot of different majors.
Yes.
Spy secret agent, they said. I also not oh god, that would have been a great class. There's a Sean Connery breaks out of the rock. Damn it.
Yeah, we really could have used that knowledge.
If it were me, I'd have majored in becoming an extraordinary gentleman.
That's one that I'm not familiar with.
I don't know if it's one of those very impractical degrees, you know, you can't really make a career out of that, but I feel like it would make me a hit at parties. Anyway, I'm all for getting out of here and I'm all for somebody else coming up with the plan.
Well, if that's what you want, then this is I have to be, the first thing that they tell you in submarine, you have to be Sean Connery. And that, who's with me? Shit. God damn it. damn it. This Sean Connery will build this submarine. Which way would you like to go? Yeah. If you're going to San Francisco, then mostly my references are from The Rock. Shit. I watched the movie a lot, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to the Red October. Give me, what do we have with the, I feel like I sound more like Luke Picard than I do Sean Connery.
This brings up an interesting question I was thinking about while edging. what voices are y'all willing to bring into the bedroom versus leave in the bathroom or wherever you don't bring your voice?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Chester Cheetah stays strictly in the bathroom. I'm only breaking out that catchphrase of dangerously cheesy in the bathroom. Bedroom never comes out.
Guys, we have to build a submarine. We don't have time to do voices.
For me, Snagglepuss is in play. A lot of the Garfields, of course, in play.
Wait, even Nermal?
Nermal's not in play. Nermal stays in the bathroom.
Right, just over here getting the Flugtag on my own. Okay.
Of course, Eartha Kitt, Catwoman's in play.
Here's an oxygen tank. This will probably work. Get this.
Also, Daniel Tiger from Mr. Rogers is completely in play.
Apparently nobody else cares about saving their lives except for me, Sean Connery. Well, that's fine. Here I, oh, hey, look, this is a tube that can hold air.
I'll do a Stallone in the bedroom.
Hey, come over here.
You know? I'll do one of those.
Oh, found a barometer. That's a weird gauge, but we'll take that.
Hey, you ever heard of penile dentata? I got that. It's got teeth.
I'm just over here. I'm going to need someone to help me to weld a few things together.
Hey, you guys want to let Dr. Uger just do the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we were all just sort of like distracting ourselves or distracting him, and that he was going to do the work. Okay, just making sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
just checking it. If your lover wanted you to bring a president into the bedroom, I mean, which one would you go with?
Oh, if I get to pick the president that I am, or yeah. Wait, is this me doing an impression of a president, or is this we have a three-way with any president of my choice?
I mean, it could really be a bit of either. I prefer to have a three-way with the president that I can do the best impression of.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
Hey guys, I'm just checking up there to see if you guys are collecting anything that could be a floatable or something that could be waterproof. I'll be back for it.
I think he slipped into Dr. Evil. I don't know what to say. I guess President Garfield?
Now, is this like actual President Garfield or more of Garfield as the president?
Yeah, it's more of Garfield as the president.
Does he still hate Mondays?
Absolutely. He tries to pass a resolution by executive order to get rid of Mondays.
I've begun welding. If you want to come down and help, you can bring your mask down and help weld. That would be great.
Well, yeah, we're going to be right down. It's me, Bill Clinton, and I'm going to bring down a saxophone that you could use as a periscope. That's who my president would be, I think.
I don't think that Bill Clinton helps with the building of the submarines.
Well, you could use a saxophone as a periscope or a snorkel. It's shaped the right way for both things. Either one would be great. And, you know, I could sign a crime bill into effect that would be devastating for a lot of underprivileged people. So I got that going for me, too.
Okay, I guess I'll just keep doing this by myself. It's very difficult, time-consuming. It's taking a lot of oxygen, and I don't think there's as much flow. Can you guys hear me?
Speaking of oxygen, how much do we have left?
Not very much. That's the only reason I'm doing this impression, because I feel like it takes less oxygen for me to talk like this.
Hey, guys. Guys, yeah. you won't believe this. In my Sean Connery, I've built the submarine. I built it all myself. I built it.
But great. Now, so all you got to do is figure out
what?
You got to cut the escape hole.
I've got to what?
Cut the escape hole out of here.
Oh shit. What are you talking about with an escape hole?
Well, we're underwater, but we're surrounded by metal, so you need to cut open the side of the metal so we can escape out of it.
Oh, sure.
I can Qui-Gon that if you want to. It's easy. Who else cuts through metal? Can Wolverine it?
Okay.
You can even, here's Johnny it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with that one. We'll see how that goes.
Here's Johnny.
I think that one was too gay. I think the metal got like more solid. Shit. Guys, I was so close. I got the submarine and I... Damn it.
All right. I didn't want to have to suggest this, but I think we should all go down to the basement and reassemble the Flugtag so we can fly it on out of here.
But I built the whole submarine.
If you couldn't Wolverine your way through that metal, there's no way we're going to get to ride that submarine.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
There's something else that I found while I was building the submarine. I found a script.
Wait, which script?
I found the menu, the movie.
Oh,
okay. I barely remember writing that.
We were so high on oxygen when we wrote that.
Wait, were you guys inhaling oxygen while I was down there edging?
Yeah. Guys, I don't know how much time we have left, but I feel like we owe it to get it recorded, at least a reading of the menu, the movie before we die. Okay, guys, I think we made the right choice by just consolidating all the oxygen in one place and getting ourselves, like, good in the right frame of mind.
I feel much better.
Yeah, I still think it was a mistake to spend all that time making copies, but maybe I'm wrong.
We had to do it. We had to do it. I think Dr. Cheddar had the right idea by getting all the rest of the rations of food and water and drinks.
I mean, it took so long to find a three-hole punch.
Guys, if we're going to do this right, we have to do it Right. I don't understand the criticism that I'm receiving for wanting to do this right. What else are you going to complain about?
Well, I mean, we could have, if we're going to put three hole punches into the scripts, then we should find brass tacks to put through those holes to bind all the paper together instead of just using paper clips that we like unfurl and then like twist tie back up.
It just doesn't
feel like an elegant solution. We could have just stapled it.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I'm doing my best here. I'm doing my best.
I feel like highlighters would help. I keep on getting confused whose lines I am. If I had a color that coded with my dialogue, that might help.
I don't know where else I'm going to get. I don't know where I'm going to get highlighters from. I did my best. I used pickle juice to kind of highlight the page where I could. I don't know what else you guys want.
Craft services.
I do have craft services. I used the rest of our rations. They're over there on the table.
Oh, that's our selection. Okay. Nothing hot. Just nothing hot. It's at least one hot dish.
Do you guys want to read this or not? This is important. We're recording for the
Saint. Okay, okay.
Listen, for those of you that are listening, thank you for tuning in to the St. Deaconista of Evansville, Indiana Hospital with all of our news updates and bulletins for the doctors and patients and staff that have to listen to this. If you're listening to this, this is the menu, the movie. Everyone turn to your first page. Everyone turn to your first page.
Who's reading stage direction?
Of course, I will read the stage direction. We open on an elaborate, large menu, kind of like a storybook. But the closer that you zoom in to the menu, you can see that the menu itself is actually a map. And you can fly into the menu, and as you fly into the menu, you can see that each course and everything that's listed is actually its own town and city and range and river and fall. And as we navigate and we fly and we air through, we see over the top and we do a quick flyby, and there's a boy and what looks to be an ape, and they walk through their land, and the flyby flies past them, turns around, goes straight up 30,000 feet, and we slowly zoom in on the boy and the ape walking.
I'm going to do both parts if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I hope we get there in time. There's only so much time that Appetizerville is open. Well, slow and steady. Slow and steady. Yeah, but if we miss our course, then the whole meal will be ruined. It's not the destination. It's the journey. Maybe you let me give you a piggyback ride. A front piggyback ride.
And at that moment, the lights dim and there's highly sexual music that is playing. And it's one of the most beautiful lovemaking scenes that you would ever see between two beings that are in love. Full penetration from all angles. Oh my God, it's written like this. Full on penetration, like love you've never seen before. Oh God, I miss him so much. I miss you so much.
Oh, we know who wrote this one.
I miss you so much. I wish you were not in prison anymore. Oh my God, I love you. So can we skip through this direction and just maybe cut to the next scene?
I think that goes against the author's wishes. Let me wrap it up for you.
That's great.
They sit, They smoke a cigarette. They stare longingly into each other's eyes. Then repeat the entire process backwards. The boy giving a front piggyback ride to the gorilla. Yeah, it wasn't that much. You keep going on.
And now we have the opening credits of Menu, the movie. And the okay, so the credits have all of our names in there. I don't understand why it has Dr. Cheddar's name in there, guys.
Inspired by.
Okay.
No?
That's I don't know. I don't know why I would want to cut in Dr. Cheddar.
I got to be honest with you. I don't remember writing any of this. So this is like me reading something that somebody else wrote for the first time.
I agree with you. And I think we're in for a wild ride. We open on Appetizerville, and as we walk into the streets, we walk along, and it's from a point of view perspective. And as we look to the left, Appetizerville, the streets are covered in breadsticks, and each home is some form of a moosh boosh, or there's a whole just sushi Hawaiian tower house, and everyone is friendly but brief in their relationships. We open an Appetizerville on two young women talking about their day.
I'm just so sick of unlimited breadsticks, you know?
The other woman is a mute.
Yeah, I know you feel the same way too. Ugh. It's just like, it's the same thing over and over again, you know? It's just, I'm done with my breadstick. Well, here's another breadstick. I'm done with that breadstick. Okay, here's another breadstick. And it never changes.
The mute puts her finger up to the other girl's face. Just to get her to stop talking.
Fine. You can try to silence me, but I'm going to get out of this town someday, and I'm going to try different courses, and I'm going to have something other than breadsticks.
Meanwhile, a nearby town folk overhears this blasphemy and comes rushing over to insert his opinion as a man would, not a gorilla would, as a man would. A gorilla would never insert his opinion like this. A gorilla would just gently insert himself into somebody in a gentle, nice way, even though he looks like a huge, scary beast. But in this case, it was a man, and he was mansplaining.
These are some weird action lights.
Is this supposed to be all read like beat poetry?
This particular character is the beat poetry character that you read it in.
Okay, so I've never seen these words before. I'm just going to say what I see. Breadstick, big dick. Stop, too much, slow down, maybe, less dough, for show, in there, it's fair, good stuff, not enough, break down, breadcrumbs.
Hey, who asked you, Beatnik? I talk to this girl who's a mute so that nobody can ever talk back to me. I don't want to hear anything from anybody telling me how good breadsticks are, because I'm getting out of this town.
Town, break down, big frown, you drown in breadstick dicks.
And that line, breadstick dicks, really upset. The girl named Cindy, who we haven't named yet, but we're naming now. Why did we write it this way?
This is, yeah.
were you guys all high on oxygen?
We were really high.
We were really high. That oxygen, there was a lot of, just, have you ever gotten high on pure oxygen? Have you ever just sucked down a tube of pure oxygen?
I mean, Not for long. I mean, with breath play, you really have to hold out and not really inhale that much oxygen. It's really about the depletion rather than the whatever the opposite of depletion is.
Inflation?
Yeah, that works.
Infilled? The young girl Cindy runs as fast as she can, and she's screaming wildly at the town that she's never coming back.
You there, young woman. Young woman running.
What? Who are you?
I'm just an old man past his prime.
Yeah, you look gross.
Well, that was rude and uncalled for. Sorry. But I need someone so that my prize will not go to waste. Prize? I won a contest earlier, but I'm too old. Oh? You must take the tour of Italy.
What?
That's right. I want a tour of Italy.
And you're giving it to me?
Someone should appreciate this. Enjoy.
Wow, thanks, Mister.
And right then and there, the old man dies.
He's dead.
Like never dead before. So dead that he couldn't imagine ever coming back to life. So dead, you would never think that later on, whatsoever, without a doubt, that he would ever come back, but he might. Even though everybody else thinks that he's really dead, he might actually come back because you never, ever know.
You guys, I think we're pretty good with dialogue. We're writing some solid dialogue, but our action lines are clunky.
Yeah, it feels like the action lines a lot of times keep kind of going through a different narrative than what's going on with the actual dialogue. Does anyone remember who actually wrote the action lines or the screen direction?
No clue.
I remember I was in charge of slug lines, but I haven't seen a single one yet, so I don't know what's happening.
I mean, I think what we have so far is pretty good. I mean, wouldn't you guys say that this is pretty good?
I'd watch this movie.
I mean,
I'd rate it.
I'm super interested. Oh,
it would get a big zero on Mr. Skin. That's fun. Very few movies get the zero.
What
in that? That means that on minute zero, the sex starts. Like most porns don't even get a zero.
Well, it's interesting because if you guys turn the page, it just says we're doing the fucking scene again. And it just says referred to opening scene.
We really didn't want to put a lot of effort in this, huh?
If to me, it really has the feel that there was only really one author for the most part through this.
I don't know. I think if you get to the back half, it takes a completely different tone.
All right, let's turn.
I've been skimming ahead a little bit.
Let's skip ahead. Does somebody else want to read the scene direction so I can play a character?
Sure, yeah. I'll do it.
Okay.
Oh, you were going to do it? No, you go
ahead.
Well,
I assumed, maybe wrongfully, that your character would still be in the movie, but there's probably a good chance she's not, given the situation that we've been in.
No, you go ahead. If she's in there, I'll keep playing the character, but if not, maybe I'll be a different character.
You're very talented. You can play multiple roles like that. That's great.
Well, thanks.
All right. I guess I'll just skip to page 10. The Pope approaches the pulpit. Hands raised to the sky. Ready to make a declaration. A declaration that will have long-reaching implications and will be known for years to come. Debated by scholars, both pro and con, for years to come. Most will side with the con side. But a few small minority will focus on the pro side.
I, Pope, make a declaration that on today, any man can marry any beast, even if that beast has committed a crime and is in jail. You can get that beast out of jail and marry that beast and love forever, even if you're the Pope. And yes, if you're the Pope, you can marry now.
Wait, I gotta pause this real quick. Did you guys really write in 76 different questions that got asked to this Pope about which beasts are included?
Oh, you're reading ahead?
I was just skipping ahead, and it looks like it's a lot of townspeople asking if certain beasts are included.
That's the big exposition dump.
This is a deep cut, but you'll notice that the Pope is in the pool while this exposition jump is going on. I think that's supposed to keep your interest so that you don't get bored. You can watch the Pope in the pool.
The direction, he's still in full papal the gear. He's still got the whole wardrobe on. He didn't take any of the clothes off. He's not in a swimsuit. He's still got the hat, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's because if you go a little bit further forward, I'm sorry, I've also been reading ahead. We kind of go into a whole Bugsy Berkeley musical number in that same pool that there's been a whole fountain of women ready to go.
Oh, is this the sexy baptism? I've also been reading ahead as well. I'm very interested to get into the sexy baptism scene.
I got to say, guys, if we're doing so much reading ahead, like, that's a good sign, right?
Oh, yeah.
That means
yeah.
We want to keep, we're invested. We want to keep going forward.
It's a page turner.
Yeah. You guys want to just jump to the sushi menu?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Cheddar, do you want to read the opening scene for the sushi menu?
I wasn't here when you wrote it, so I'm not sure if I understand all these lines, but it's just like California roll and then body parts. what does that mean?
Well, I think because the body parts are different parts of not a human. Oh, I see what's going on here. I see okay. Skip to the part where there's the dialogue between the coroner and the upset lover that's lost his lover. Cut.
Yeah, I'm confused. My script says California roll, no cop, no stop. I don't know what that means.
That's what mine says too. Okay. I don't get that part.
Okay, just cut to the corner part.
Cut to the corner. I'll play the corner if someone wants to play the upset lover.
I'll play the upset lover.
Okay. Welp, it looks like that ape is dead based on the fact that all of these body parts are all over the place.
Oh, but there's still other apes and monkeys and orangutans, aren't there?
There are, but this particular one that you loved very much is definitely, in fact, dead. There's no way that you could anyhow whatsoever put this together like this California roll and bring it back to life. No way, no how.
Even if we tried to reanimate its corpse?
Absolutely not. That would be unbelievable. There's no way that could happen. In fact,
did somebody say reanimate?
At this point, there's a huge explosion, but not a real explosion, just like a loud noise. Holy shit, guys, this is terrible writing here.
I'll read it then. Loud explosion, but like enough that if you are using your home speakers, it won't blow them out. But it'll be pretty impressive in a theater setting and not last too long, but you'll be thinking about it later.
And then do you guys see where we scratched out Dolby Digital? We scratched out THX. We scratched out surround sound. We scratched out Betamax. Did we go through a whole myriad of systems that this might sound good in?
I vaguely remember some home theater discussion. Yeah.
So suddenly, the dead man from the beginning, who we all were certain was dead, and we thought there's no way that this man would come back to life, appears alive again. I was dead once, and I'm here to tell you, if you love enough, you can overcome even death itself.
He then puts his hands together like Mr. Miyagi style, and that familiar Karate Kid music comes on. And after he starts putting his hands together, he slowly, one by one, reassembles the dissected ape piece by piece and shoves the California roll into where its heart would be. And he says,
"Do you love? Tell me. Do you love?"
This is the part where the distraught lover has their line.
Wait. Wait. One second. I'm just looking ahead at the script and this doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah. No, wait, I have no recollection of this whatsoever. But I do seem to have a very brief recollection that the boy appears something. I mean, I don't remember, guys. I don't remember.
All right. And if you guys turn the, oh my God. Guys, turn to the back. Oh my God. The back is the instruction manual on the escape pod that gets us out of. We wrote the whole fucking script on the escape manual of how to.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And you made these two-sided copies and you didn't even realize it?
No, it's a one-sided, and the other side is the escape manual.
Right, but then you gave us all copies and you printed them two-sided.
Shit. Guys, we can get out of here like now.
I mean, I feel like the table read's not going to be the same if we finish it somewhere else. Should we finish it here and risk running out of oxygen, or should we escape?
Well, guys, I think we've got plenty of